Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. Amen. Moving around the globe as a military family, I was often the new kid on the block. Some circles were easier to join than others, and the times I would return home in tears, my mother would try to soothe me with, "Sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me." That saying never really held up for me on the school playground, or in day-to-day life, for that matter. With just a few words, you can end a friendship, begin an argument, start a divorce, a riot, a war. All of us, each one of us, carry wounds from hurtful things that have been said, leaving tender scars that are easily reopened. Words have the power to both create and destroy. The expression, "sticks and stones may break my bones," was first in the March 1862 edition of the Christian Recorder, a publication of the African Methodist Church. More likely, it was taken from an earlier oral tradition in the African community, as the publication referred to it as that old adage. Can you hear mothers soothing their children amidst the terrors of slavery and violence? Imagine the children of the Holocaust or apartheid reciting this poem in their heads. This ditty provides no comfort to those little ones encamped at our borders today. Lines of division have been drawn throughout time, perhaps out of fear, to protect what those on the inside of the circle believe is a scarce commodity. But believe me, friends, there's pain on both the inside and the outside of the circle, and the scarring continues. Our reading today from the letter of the Ephesians to the Ephesians was written in another time of great community division. Christianity was in its infancy, forming at the crossroads of those who had inherited these promises of salvation, the Jews, and those who wanted to convert that came from a variety of cultural and ethnic backgrounds, the Gentiles. Some believed that the Gentiles should adhere to Jewish law to become Christian. Others rejected Jewish tradition, wanting to follow this new way. Tensions were high in this early community, and unity was crucial for the movement to go forward. The writer's words were a call to live in love as Christ had loved them. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. So a council convened in Jerusalem to address how to get these Gentiles integrated into the circle. Ultimately, the council did not require Gentiles to follow Jewish law, but hurt and anger festered among them, fueling divisions in the church for generations. Orthodox and Reformed, evangelical and progressive, high and low church, each claiming to have the corner on truth. When Jesus said, "I am the bread of life, whoever comes to me will never be hungry," there was no inside circle. The commodity of love would be multiplied, not divided, as it was shared, not hoarded for the select few. If the bread of life could be given through Jesus's fleshly existence, why cannot we mediate grace through our fleshly existence, through our actions and our words? We have forgotten the power of community and its ability to be a force for love in the world. If we've been fed by that bread of life, we are equipped with the grace and the courage we need to be love in the midst of hatred, to be peacemakers among the instigators, leaders for those who do not have a voice. Jesus wanted this for us, to build one another up, to tear down walls of division, to heal our open wounds. Just as the high priest could not see in the ordinary person of Jesus the bread that came down from heaven, we do not recognize the power that's been offered to us to be hope in a hurting world. Now, I am called up short this morning by our readings. I must admit that there are many a morning where I turn off the news and blissfully go about my day. As part of the community of Christ, I do not have the right to ignore the troubles of others, to walk away from the dividing lines. We are all members of one another. Bishop Desmond Tutu writes in his book, No Future Without Forgiveness, "If you are neutral in situations of injustice, you have chosen the side of the oppressor." We are made to tell the world that there are no outsiders. All are welcome, black, white, yellow, rich, poor, educated, uneducated, male, female, gay, straight, all. We all belong to this family, this human family, God's family. Today is the one-year anniversary of the white supremacist march on Charlottesville, where anger and violence erupted, claiming lives. Today, this group marches in D.C. Our bishops wrote a letter to clergy to remind us that our lives are to be conduits of grace. But how do we begin? First, we examine how we treat one another. We cross the lines of separation that have been created, and we ask forgiveness for any wounds we may have inflicted upon one another. As a community, we have a variety of gifts to share if we are united, and we have much to give a suffering world. Not all of us are meant to march or go into battle for the oppressed, but we all have a kind word or gesture to give someone who needs hope. Sticks and stones may break our bones, and words can maim or heal us. I pray that as we come to this table today to be fed by the bread of life, we are empowered with grace and courage to speak words of truth and kindness to our enemies, to invite in those who feel outside the circle, to begin the deep work of healing that God wants for all of us. I would like to end with a prayer that was written by our bishops to be shared today. God of peace, we remember before you the events that shattered our commonwealth a year ago, when voices of hatred and division descended upon the town of Charlottesville. We pray for Heather, who was killed, and for the dozens who were injured. We pray for those who lost their sense of safety in their own communities. We give thanks for the men and women from a wide range of faith traditions who witnessed to your love and your truth with their prayers, their songs of hope, and their very bodies as they stood against violence. Bless our continued resolve to say no to hatred, violence, and prejudice in whatever forms they take. And give us the courage always to be faithful witnesses to your love, your truth, and your peace. We ask all of this in the name of the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.